They aren't just good. They're the best. But the best just got better. The new WHJE sports team rolls out High School Game Day. Tune in to 91.3 WHJE every game day for a look at the day's matchup. WHJE Sports, taking you to the edge.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to 91.3 WHJE, of course, the one and only voice of the Greyhounds. And Jesse, I am so excited to be at this game. So much has happened, 24-7 in favor of the Greyhounds. They've come out firing, but hey, Ben Davis has done a nice job laddering that first half to come back. Folks, I can tell you this second half is going to be absolutely phenomenal. Jesse, go ahead and tell me a little bit more about what Carmel needs to do in the second half and what they've done right.
Well, I said this earlier in the broadcast, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Just continue doing what you're doing. And that's pounding into rushing attack. They have been spectacular. Three rushing touchdowns by Isaac James off of quarterback keepers. He came in as a starter for the quarterback position tonight. Spectacular running the read option. And we've seen a lot of different formations, kind of throwing some different things at the Ben Davis Giants tonight. We're so used to seeing James run exclusively in either the pistol or the flex mode. But so far tonight, we've seen Lampy coming in the I formation, but we've seen dominance in the shotgun formation from Isaac James.
Exactly. And then if we switch sides of the ball to the Giants, it's really been defensively kind of just almost that troubleshooting game. What are we doing wrong? Why is Carmel able to run all over us? And if you look at that front line, you got three incredible defensive tackles, Trey Harney, Albert Williams, and Norman Oglesby. And they have done such a good job this season so far. You know, most of them coming in here with 24, 54, 27 tackles. They've done a good job stopping the run, but it just has been so vacant so far this game. We haven't seen him really step up. And then, you know, you talk about the tackle leader right here, Brent Brown, the senior. He's an outside linebacker with 67 tackles. He really hasn't made his name. We've only called him twice. And so it's been kind of a struggle for that defensive side of the ball for Ben Davis to really put some pressure on Isaac James, and James has really been able to do whatever he wants to.
And it's also been a struggle for the defense, but you can't take away from what the Carmel Greyhounds have done offensively, but also you got to give credit to the defense in some way, shape, or form, in which the Carmel Greyhounds had two drives start in Ben Davis territory. That's very hard to ask of a defense to do. We saw that a couple weeks ago with Warren Central with the Carmel Greyhounds there. Carmel Greyhounds had two drives, one starting at the 10-yard line, the other one at the 30-yard line. They were able to hold him to a total of 6 points on those two drives. It's about the execution in the face of adversity. And so far, we've seen Ben Davis kind of struggling with that concept.
But offensively for Ben Davis, expectations coming into the ballgame were very, very high. They're a high-scoring ball club, got a very, very great passer in Kyle Kastner, as well as you've got that rusher, Jamie Aiken Jr., Dorian Tate, Chris Evans, all three incredible guys who really provide just that extra level of an offense that really Kastner wants to run. But tonight they have not lived up to those expectations at all. Have had a lot of trouble, haven't been able to get into a rhythm, really find out what strategy they're going to run. They're a very complex team themselves, and it seemed like Carmel has really been playing in Ben Davis's shoes. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Giants come out firing on all cylinders, doing anything they can to get some points on the board and move that ball forward in the second half.
And we saw two very impressive drives there at the end of that first half. The first one resulting in a long touchdown pass, 30-plus yards to Michael Beatty. That was the 7 points that the Ben Davis Giants have right now. But on that last one, they were driving inside, kind of going with that one-minute drill there at the end. We're not able to convert on the field goal attempt, but still, the offense is starting to move. And it's been quite impressive to see this arm strength of the quarterback, Kastner.
And again, like you said, those receivers, just a quick tidbit, and then we're going to take you to second half action. All three of the receivers that have really made an impact for the Giants are over 300 yards receiving so far. That's a big number, and you'd like to see those guys come up even bigger in this half.
Whereas you have the Carmel Greyhounds on their side of the ball. They have Austin Roberts, who's approaching 500 yards on the season, but you also have Thomas Baldwin at 345, but then it drops off to Baldridge at 136. So we're going to have the kickoff away. Ben Davis kicking to the Carmel Greyhounds. Danny Alvarez is kicking that one into the area of Roberts. And Roberts is going to take this one at about the 2-yard line. Roberts, a very dangerous returner, stumbles. He's going to get himself out to about the 20-yard line. So respectable return there from Austin Roberts. And the offense, who was so explosive there in the first half, will jog out onto the field.
And again, something that we don't talk about a lot is that special teams. Man, have they done a fine job. And Austin Roberts has done an incredible job back there, back deep. Really should have been down at about the 10-yard line, able to stretch it out. So that offense for the Greyhounds looks like it's going to be captained here by Isaac James, of course. He's going to see if they can keep their momentum moving forward.
So James comes back out. It looks like they're going into that flex bone formation, one wide out to his right. James under center, tries to go hard count now. Hands that one up the middle to Shakir Pascal. Pascal is going to get himself about 5 yards off of that initial carry. So we talked about this earlier in the first half there and a little bit during halftime. Are those rushes that you can get on first down to set up the second and five, the second and six, and it really makes it that much easier on your offense and opens up your playbook.
Exactly, and even the passing game as well. James is not known as a passer, but he's got more options. We've seen him air the ball out very effectively thus far.
So James will come back out in the four-wide pistol formation this time, three out to his right. And now they're going to go split-backs formation. Roberts in the backfield. They hand that one up the middle to Perkins. Perkins has daylight at the 40-yard line. It's a foot race at the midfield. 45, he loses the football, but that one is going to roll out of bounds. Everyone kind of holding their breath here on the Carmel sideline. But that one goes out of bounds. Carmel will retain possession, but a nice explosive run there off the read option for Perkins.
And just like that, Jesse, it's a testament to, even at the end of big plays, something can go very, very wrong. Chris Perkins escaping possibly a turnover there. But they're able to retain possession. Can't take anything away from that run. Very, very good job, and also a great read by Isaac James.
They will set up at the Ben Davis 39-yard line in the flex bone formation, two wide set this time. First down and 10 for James as he takes the snap. The handoff up the middle is going to be going to Pascal. He's going to be brought down right at the line of scrimmage. Nowhere for him to go, plugging up those holes in a hurry at defensive line of the Ben Davis Giants.
Not fooling anybody, 93, Albert Williams and company. Again, big defensive tackle there. And Norman Oglesby as well.
Perkins is going to head over towards the sideline now. We're going to get a new tailback in for the Carmel Greyhounds into flex bone formation. Pascal remains in the backfield. They put him in motion. He has to go back and reset over towards that left side as James looks over at the sideline for additional signaling. 10:30 remaining here in the third quarter. They put him in motion once again. The option run up to Pascal up through the middle. He's going to be brought down at about the 35-yard line, so third and about six on the way for the Carmel Greyhound offense. So 10:14 remaining here in the third quarter, as we just mentioned, third and six on the way for the Carmel Greyhounds. Roberts comes back in for that flex bone. Two wide set for James as they are right in the middle of the field at the 35-yard line. Put a man in motion. He's forced to stop and reset as James will look over towards that sideline. James looking at that sideline again for those signals. Looks like potentially the new tailback for the Carmel Greyhounds is 28, Joshua Beekwood, the senior, as this one is going to be a run once again, trying to go up the middle of Pascal. Ball squirts out. Roberts is going to chase it down, and he recovers it there at about the 46-yard line. And ball security, a bit of a concern on this drive, and that's going to be fourth down for the Carmel Greyhounds, but avoiding disaster right there. Roberts is able to hustle that one down and jump on top of it, and the Carmel Greyhounds are going to be able to punt this one away.
Might even be a blessing in disguise. Again, you're at that like 35-yard line. It's kind of like, is this punt territory? It's kind of that in-between between punt and field goal, and now you've actually just given Adam Kramer some more distance to work with here, and he is so deadly. He can pin a ball back deep. We're going to see. Obviously, that's game plan number one here.
As you mentioned, a little more breathing room now for Kramer. He stands at about his own 42-yard line. We have penalty flags flying back deep at the 15-yard line. Only the return man is in that area. And it is going to be a delay of game against the Carmel Greyhounds. So five more yards for Adam Kramer to work with. And so his guys can run downfield, try to pin him back inside their own 20-yard line.
But what a heads-up play there by Austin Roberts to fall on that ball. It squirted out. Scared the daylights out of just about all of us. Roberts coming up big again.
So Kramer will be kicking this one away now from about his own 36-yard line after the delay of game penalty. He fields this one cleanly, gets this punt off. This is a high spiraling punt at about the 15-yard line. Fair catch is going to be called at the 15-yard line. So good job there by Adam Kramer. Some good field position for the Carmel defense this time. We've seen the last couple of drives. Ben Davis has really been starting at about their own 35 to 40-yard line, so now with plenty of field to work with. So a lot of space in front of them as this offense will come back out of the field. 8:48 remaining here in the third quarter. 24-7 remains your score in favor of the Carmel Greyhounds. Let's see what Kastner has up his sleeve for this one as he comes out into shotgun formation. Four wide set. They split the difference on the receivers. on tailback in the backfield. Carmel showing blitz. They fake it, though. Beatty's going to have this one off the screen at the 20-yard line. He's still fighting for extra yards. He'll be brought down at about the 25.
Now I'd like to see Kyle Kastner kind of start moving that offense up a little bit. Jump to the line here. See if you can catch the Greyhounds on their heels. A lot of screen action, a lot of short passing. I'd like to see him really start working something up.
One play, one first down for Kastner as they move the chains. First down and 10 from their own 26-yard line off of that right hash. Four wide set coming up. Three out to his left, one tailback to his right. Carmel showing blitz, and they do this time. Kastner has this one off the keeper. He stumbles a little bit into the backfield. He's not going to make it back to the line of scrimmage. Good job by the defensive pressure of the Carmel Greyhounds getting in there in a hurry for the loss of two.
And not a bad read there by Kastner either on that handoff. But, hey, just a heads-up play by the defense. They've done such a good job, that defensive line. They're kind of the weak part of that defense. But, man, have they stepped up in recent games.
Four wide set once again, same formation. He's going to have the sophomore Chris Evans to his left as the tailback. We've seen Evans in a lot of different formations as a receiver and as a tailback. Evans will receive the handoff off the left tackle, trying to push through his blockers now. Spin move across to the 32-yard line. He's going to be brought down, gaining a lot of those yards back off of that previous play. He's going to set up a third and very manageable for the Giants.
And a lot of times we like to take a lot of our focus as announcers and put it on the big play guys, Jamie Aiken Jr. But, man, Chris Evans has done a fantastic job really spreading the ball out. He's a go-to guy.
Four wide set. They go up the middle again to Evans. Going to be close to the first down. This one will depend on the spot. Right at the 35-yard line. He had to get across there to get that first down. We'll try to get this one situated here. Clock will stop at 7.5 minutes. It was a third and three, and Evans trying to go off of that right tackle. We might have ourselves a measurement coming up. Either side really budging.
I think with Chris Evans, you can almost make that comparison kind of the Shakir Pascal, Chris Perkins duo that we have on Carmel. Perkins is obviously the headlining guy. He's the big name man. But Pascal's really done a very, very good job of coming up big, of really stepping into those shoes, and being kind of that power back that Carmel really needs in their formation. You've got a speed guy in Chris Perkins. We've talked about it. Get around to the perimeter and all these different things, but Pascal's been that up-the-gut guy. So in the same light, we see Chris Evans, playing that same position. He's a good, powerful back, and provides just kind of some relief to guys like Dorian Tate and Jamie Aiken Jr., who haven't seen too much time tonight.
This one couldn't have been really any closer on the measurement, but it looks like we're going to have ourselves a fourth down in inches, possibly a fourth down in inch here. That's how close we're talking. Big fourth down coming up for this offense. They're going full house pistol set with Kastner in the backfield here from the gun. Takes the snap, tries to hand up the middle. Evans bursts through the hole off that right tackle, and he's going to have himself a first down at about the 40-yard line. So going for it there on the fourth and inches, they move the chains. That stops the clock, 7:24 remaining in the third quarter, trying to cut into this 24-7 lead. Kastner comes back out as he breaks huddle. They're going again with that full house pistol formation, has three backs with him as he takes it from the gun. Evans, right tackle, races towards the right sideline this time. He'll be brought down at the 45-yard line. Good gain of about 5 yards there, and we start to see this little comparison that you just made there, John, with Perkins and Pascal trying to live them lives about 4 or 5 yards at a time. Same formation. This time from their own 45 right hash. They go right back to Evans up the middle at the 50-yard line. He's going to scoot himself across to about the 46. He has himself another first down. Two runs, two first downs. And his drive has been highlighted by the efforts of Chris Evans, and he's going to take himself a seat on the bench, a little bit of a breather. Trying to hurry it up now. Catches defense off guard. On the first down, Kastner will hand that one up the middle to Dorian Tate. Dorian Tate's across the 45-yard line at the 43, and they're really starting to pick up the pace.
Yeah, I don't like that call at all there. You see Carmel sideline trying to substitute guys in, having trouble with it. I think what you've got to do there is you've got to recognize that. You've got the defense on their heels. You don't have them doing anything. You've got to run the play action there. I think you got to take a shot downfield. I think you missed a shot downfield. I think you missed a touchdown.
Four wide set, three out to the left for Kastner as he looks over towards that sideline now. Clock continues to tick on this drive. 6:22 remaining in the third quarter. Second and 7 from the Carmel 44-yard line. True shotgun formation now for Kastner. They go hard count. He's going to keep this one right side, going over, racing, trying to get to the 40-yard line. Takes a big shot from the defensive secondary of the Carmel Greyhounds. That's going to set up about a third and 3. 6:09, the clock stops right there. Third and two is the official spot at the 39-yard line. Kastner starting to slow down the pace a little bit now. Ball will be set, and the clock will start here. Four wide shotgun set, three out to his left. He's got Evans out to his right as the tailback. Kastner looking over towards the sideline. Has plenty of time to call this one. 14 seconds remaining on the play clock. Game clock not running as he went out of bounds on that last rush. From their own 39-yard line, big third down coming up for Ben Davis. They go rush up the middle, and Evans is going to try to spin his way across. This one is going to be another close one across the 38-yard line, depending on the spot here. Initial spot looks to be just short of the first down marker. Another fourth and short coming on the way if we do not measure. Carmel trying to get some substitutions. We might have ourselves an official's timeout here as both teams will head over towards their sidelines to discuss the next play. We're going to get ourselves another measurement coming up. Would set up either a fourth and one or another first and ten. Either way you look at it, you got to give credit on this drive. Chris Evans has looked awfully impressive. Trying to go, we've seen a lot of the times these kind of backs like to go right at the middle, but he's been kind of going on those stretch plays to the outside to both tackles.
And that right there is a comparison to the offensive line. It's just a good job of what they've done so far. It's tough. When you're not making anything happen, when you're not moving the ball upwards, it kind of sometimes falls on that offensive line, and you begin to blame the guys at the front. They've got the hardest job. And so now they're making things happen. So although Chris Evans looks like the guy who's making it happen, in reality, that offensive line has made quite an adjustment. And so far, it's allowing Evans to really move and hit those holes.
Right now, it appears to be that fourth down and one. Once again, big stop potential right now for this defense, but the offense has been rolling on the ground in this drive. Full house pistol formation for Kastner as he comes back out on the field from the gun. At the 38-yard line of the Carmel Greyhounds, he takes the snap. The handoff up the middle. Evans has enough for the first down across the 33-yard line, and they convert again. That brings up another first and 10, and a mass substitution coming up for this Carmel Greyhounds defense.
Not only do you have another first and 10, but you've also kept Isaac James on the sideline for another drive. That's so important. You can't let him get warm. You can't let him keep coming on the field.
This time, Kastner goes right back to Evans. Same play off the right tackle. Evans breaks away at the 15-yard line, racing into the end zone. And it looks like he may have stepped out of bounds or waiting on the official call. But no, he has himself a touchdown, 13-24, and here come the Giants. What a drive there that one led. You mentioned that offensive line, of course, but Chris Evans looking awfully impressive. Only a sophomore tailback, able to bounce out to the outside, knowing exactly where he needs to go. Showing off the wheels a little bit. We haven't really seen him out in open space, but very impressive. Running, you know, kind of stride for stride, but he had a stride advantage to start with Zach Woods. So Danny Alvarez for the extra point attempt. This one is up and good. That makes it a 10-point game with 5:49 remaining here in the third quarter. 14 unanswered by Ben Davis.
If you look over at Carmel's offense, too, here's the deal. They really haven't had an opportunity to put points on the board. Look at that time right now. 5:49 here in that third quarter. That's a chunk of time Ben Davis is able to take off the clock by the running game. So I think, again, when you start to fire on all cylinders, things happen. And again, like we talked about before, the first half was all Carmel. We saw a team come out here super confident, super ready to play the ball game. And you got a quarterback like Isaac James. You know, he comes in here with 344 yards on the ground, you know, and only 85 yards in the air, but still you see him take that shot downfield, and it's worth it. Now switching sides, you've got another incredible quarterback and another incredible halfback. Chris Evans, he's got 318 yards this season too. It's not like he's unknown and is just making a presence. He's had an impact on the season.
Chris Evans, that was his fourth touchdown run of the season, and Isaac James adding three to his resume tonight as that kickoff will go back into the end zone for the automatic touchback. The Carmel Greyhounds will get the ball at their own 20-yard line. But to continue that last thought there, Isaac James came into the game with five rushing touchdowns. That was good for third on the team, but he has since taken over the lead of rushing touchdowns for the Carmel Greyhounds. He has three tonight, eight on the season.
So far, if we look at these keys to victory for Carmel, we can check a few off. I think sell out to the strategy. They've sold out to James' strategy. Hey, we're going to run the ball a lot. I think you can check that off the list. Get rolling early. They've definitely done that so far. Check that off the list. But here's the one I don't think they've done a good job of. Get the ball to Roberts. I think you got to air it out. Let Austin Roberts come down with some catches and make some things happen.
Four wide pistol formation for Isaac James as they move Roberts in motion this time. The option goes to Pascal this time as he tries to go up the middle. He's not going to go anywhere. Second down and 10 on the way after the minimal gain off the rush from Shakir Pascal. And like you mentioned, Austin Roberts, we haven't been calling him too much, but when we have, he's been effective. We saw on a big third down play on a screen, John Lampe stepping up to deliver that one to him, and Austin Roberts did the rest, breaking a couple tackles on the way. Perkins jogs off the field for the Cromwell Greyhounds. Four wide pistol formation set again for Isaac James, this time three out to his right. Pascal remains in the backfield. Roberts moving in motion. The option, Pascal trying to go anywhere. He's going to lose about 3 yards. They give him that forward progress. A third down and 13 on the way from their own 17. And the Ben Davis defense is starting to come in to effect here, being very, really kind of dominating in that front seven.
Now John Lampe comes onto the field here, and you obviously know what he's going to do. I think as a defense, you can play to that. Actually, just keep your defensive tackles. Keep them as spies here. Set back that coverage. Bring the linebackers off. I think, honestly, it's going to be very, very tough here for John Lampe to come up with a completion.
Third down and 12 is the official spot. Lampe trying to race back from the shotgun. They move Roberts over towards the left side to split the receiver set. Lampe drops back, little time to throw. They get it to Roberts at the 20. Roberts trying to race himself upfield, gets to the 25-yard line. He's not going to make it any further. He's going to be wrestled down there. Fourth down and 5 coming up for the Hounds.
Jesse, just a quick question for you. If you're John Lampe in that position, what receiver are you looking at?
You definitely have to be looking at Roberts.
Exactly, and I think as a defense, you can play to that. I think everybody's thinking that. They know that, hey, Lampe's on the field here. He's going to be looking at Roberts. And in that situation, you got to give credit to the coverage team. They did a great job of wrapping up Roberts, not letting him get any of those extra yards we're used to seeing him get.
And that mental clock we saw going off again in John Lampe's head, the pressure was coming from both sides, had to step up and deliver a pass, was able to get the completion and a gain of 7. Normally, that should be enough for the first down in most cases, but not here, as Adam Kramer will be coming out to punt this one away from his own 10. It's fielded cleanly, this one way up in the air, spiraling to about the 43-yard line. So good field position coming up for the Ben Davis Giants here in Kastner. And this offense have really been rolling on their last three drives.
Let's give a little credit here to Adam Kramer for that punt. What about the hang time there? He's done a great job. Okay, he's only averaging 33 yards a punt. But we're talking about a guy who really is able to pin teams back. And although this isn't the best that Adam Kramer would have liked to have done, Ben Davis is still setting up at their own 43-yard line.
So regardless, like you mentioned, in their own territory, Astner comes out. Four wide shotgun set. They split the difference. They fake the handoff. Now they find Beatty off the screen. Beatty shakes a couple tacklers. He'll be brought down at about the 48-yard line, refusing to go down. Regardless, having five defenders on him, he's still moving those legs, able to gain a couple more yards. So second and 5 on the way. Good job by Beatty. We've been calling his number quite a bit, number 19. Michael Beatty has been quite impressive for this team. The senior, who came into the game with 4 receiving touchdowns. He added one to those. Numerous receiving yards on the night. He had 301 coming into the ball game. Same formation set at the 48-yard line. Kastner looks to take the snap. He does. Same play. They go screen pass to Beatty, but this time Carmel's ready for it. He's going to be wrestled behind the line of scrimmage. They're going to lose a yard on the play. 3rd and 6 on the way for the Ben Davis Giants. Clock really starting to become a factor. 2:46 and counting in the third quarter. Big third down coming up for the Greyhound offense. Excuse me, defense. Kastner comes out 4 wide set, 3 out to his left. He looks over towards the sideline for additional signaling. He has plenty of time to call this one. 14 seconds and counting left on the play clock. Evans remains alone back in the backfield to his right. Takes the snap. Has time to throw. Blitz coming now. Delivers the strike to Beatty off the slant over the middle. He's going to be brought down at the Carmel Greyhound 40-yard line. And another laser beam delivered by Kastner.
Exactly. I like to make the comparison from Kastner to one of Tom Brady. He's got such poise in that pocket. They're able to deliver strikes. And what a pass that was in coverage. Still able to make the completion.
They go for a wide set once again. Trying to hurry it up a little more now. He fakes the toss over. That's a run up the middle to Evans. He's going to be brought down after about a gain of a yard. Second down and 9. Trying to catch the Greyhounds off guard. Off the little draw play there as they've been going through the air on the last 3 plays. 2 minutes exactly and counting left in the third. Trailing by 10, but driving are the Ben Davis Giants. 4 wide shotgun set. He has 3 out to his left, 1 out to his right. They're lined up off of that right hash, so plenty of room to work on that left side of the field. Kastner comes back. They put a man in motion, move him out to that right side of the field. Kastner takes a snap. They go screen once again. It finds his man, Beatty. He's still on his feet, spins around, trying to get to that 30-yard line. He's going to be stopped just short of it. Going to be awfully close to that first down marker. If not, it will be a third and very short. Sondel's there on the tackle. 1:22 remaining here in the third quarter. We're going to have an official's timeout to try to see. Might be having another measurement on the way. Either a first and 10 or third and inches on the way. We'll see what the official call is when we reset football.
Going back to that last play, Jesse, you mentioned a name we haven't heard all game, and that is Ryan Sondel. Sondel's, again, second in tackles on this team so far. 56 to, of course, his buddy, same story, the inside linebacker with 57. And again, then we talk about that outside linebacker, and of course, Mitch Lindgren has done a fantastic job as well. But we haven't called those guys' names at all, and I think that's a big problem here. You see, Carmel's starting to play from behind, and they haven't really had to do that. They've played bailout football pretty much the entire season, where the Greyhounds get down early, and they're playing from behind. And most of their wins, like you said, Justin, the past four wins for the Greyhounds have been come from behind victories in the fourth quarter. And so it's kind of a different feel here for the Greyhounds playing with the lead, and they can't give up another touchdown. Again, 14 unanswered, 24-14, a minute 19 here. But Ben Davis, man, would they like to get some more points on the board? Go into the fourth quarter, only down one score.
You mentioned his linebacking core. You got Sondel, Story, start naming guys like Lindgren. You can even start throwing in Mazza from that rover position, and even the youngster, Noah Burks, the sophomore, coming into play here. They're going to have to step up big on this third and one as they come out full house pistol. Kastner gives it off to Evans, right tackle. He bursts through the hole, trying to get himself to the 25-yard line, but he has himself a first down there, brought down at the 28-yard line. Chris Evans really starting to make a name for himself here, but we do have a player down on the Ben Davis Giants side. We will not speculate as to what happened there. But regardless, a minute four remaining in the third quarter, 24-14. This one's starting to get a little closer now as they're inching in on the red zone of the Carmel Greyhounds.
And I think if you look at the third down efficiency for the Greyhounds this season, so far it's been a 36% here. Fourth down efficiency is a 43%. That's a whole other story that, you know, you're converting better on fourth down than third down. There's a problem there. But I think Ben Davis here has done such a good job on third and fourth down. You know, fourth down, they're 100% so far. Third down, they've done an incredible job as well of converting on that ball, and it's made it so hard for a defense. You kind of hit on it a little before. You're also making that offense stay on the sideline. You're letting Isaac James get cold. You're letting him get tired. He's kind of getting antsy, and it's tough for quarterback to come back into the game and just be able to turn it on like that.
I think another thing we need to talk about is the turnover game. We saw those two turnovers by Ben Davis early in the first half. They've been protecting the football since, been doing a great job of it. Kastner, if he has one negative aspect to his game, he does have 10 interceptions on the season. Big game, Kastner, he jogs back out on the field after that injury timeout in that full house pistol formation. He hands that one off. Right tackle this time. Evans tries to burst through. He's across the 25-yard line to about the 23. 42 seconds and counting left here in the third. Conway's going to come up with the tackle here. And an interception, a very impressive interception. Nice catch by Conway earlier there in that first quarter. Second and 7 on the way. They do have to call play before the end of this quarter with the game and play clock differential. Four wide shotgun set. They split the difference on the receivers. Kastner takes the snap, fakes the screen. Now looking deep down the field to his man. We have ourselves penalty flags flying everywhere in that area. Conway was able to bat that one down initially. He was looking for his intended receiver. That was Sean Boswell, who's their leading receiver as far as average goes so far. One of the seniors. See what the official call is here, but usually when you get a lot of defensive backs and a lot of contact, it doesn't look good for a defense. So that one is going to move them up to about the 10-yard line. So and goal situations coming up for the Ben Davis Giants. They officially will spot them at the 12 with 17 seconds remaining here in the third. First down and 10 for the Ben Davis Giants. Off that right hash, Kastner takes the snap. Goes over screen side to Boswell. Boswell's going to be pushed out of bounds at about the 10-yard line. They gain 2 yards. That stops the clock at 12 seconds. Sindels is able to chase him out there. Second down and six at the 8-yard line. So it is possible to gain the first down here before going into the end goal situations. That could come into play in a couple plays. Kastner takes the snap up the middle. They go Evans once again. Defensive line crashes there, and they are able to bring him down at about the 5-yard line. So that will be the end of the third quarter as they're going to let time run out here. When we return, very exciting football game starting to develop here. 14 unanswered by the Ben Davis Giants. It will be a 3rd-and-3 at the Carmel 5-yard line. You're listening to 91.3 WHA, the voice of the Carmel Greyhounds.
They are just good. They're the best. But the best just got better. The new WHJE sports team rolls out High School Game Day. Tune in to 91.3 WHJE every game day for a look at the day's matchup. WHJE Sports, taking you to the edge.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, do we have a ball game for you. 24-14 in favor of the Greyhounds here at Ben Davis. Ben Davis has just scored 14 unanswered. And, man, they're barking down that trail again, doing a great job so far. And that drive really starting to open up. Again, the quarterback, Kyle Kastner, has made things happen in the air. It's really been a run game for Ben Davis in their quick drive here. But so far, he's starting to air it out a little bit. Quick screens, things like that, slants. It's really keeping the defense in a world of trouble, I guess you could say.
And any way you slice it here, this is a two-possession game, being down 10 points. But what a comeback coming up here by the Ben Davis Giants and his offense. After they were shut down in the first quarter and a half of play, we started to kind of see them get rolling with that first touchdown and that missed field goal opportunity at the end of the first half. Those last two drives really started to set the tone for this half. And the offense has been rolling on all cylinders. And I think you got to give a lot of credit to that sophomore tailback and Chris Evans. And that offensive line has been giving Kastner time to throw. And when he's had time to throw, he has proved to be pretty lethal with that arm strength. They come back out. We have ourselves a 3rd-and-3 at the Carmel 5-yard line for Ben Davis. 12 minutes of game time left to decide the winner. They try to go screen pass. That one's going to be incomplete. Pressure dialed up there. Kendall Hume getting a hand on Kastner as he was trying to let that one go. Incompletion. And now it's 4th down. You have to get a touchdown and a field goal. The order does not matter. Are you going to go for the possible easier points here in the field goal?
I don't think so. I think that... Well, we might actually see them decide against me here. I think they're going to go ahead and bring on that field goal team.
Actually going with some bigger bodies here to try to stack up that line of scrimmage. That looks like Kastner's coming back out. So Kastner's going to be going under center here for the Ben Davis Giants. 4th-and-3 at the 5-yard line. Full house pistol. They give it off to Evans. Evans dances out to the outside trying to make it to the end zone. And he will. Chris Evans, having himself quite a second half here, has just made it 24-20. So 11:50 remaining in the ball game. And like I just mentioned, we have ourselves a ball game, trying to make it a three-point game. We've noticed throughout this entire season how important extra points can be. So trying to make this a three-point game and keep it within a field goal's length, Danny Alvarez will be kicking the extra point. The hold is good. The kick up from Alvarez. And that one will also be good. 21 unanswered from the Ben Davis Giants right now. Carmel holding on to that three-point lead.
Jesse, I don't want to take anything away from that Ben Davis drive because it was a perfect example of an offense firing on all cylinders, taking advantage of their incredible ground game, being able to air it out because of that. But I think there was a play that really defined how this drive was going to end, and it was that pass interference call. Whether you agree with it or not, that's fine. Point is, it's free points. And in the same way, again, we saw Isaac James with a hard count there way back in the first half. And because of those easy yards and that conversion to get another first down without doing anything, he was able to score. So I think what penalties does is not only does it kind of take away the motivation of a defense and kind of hurt your chemistry, but now it gives you an extra edge and opens up your options to be able to make things happen.
That was the 5th touchdown of the season for Chris Evans, a sophomore, now tied with the junior Dorian Tate for the most on the team. Danny Alvarez will be kicking back away to the likes of Austin Roberts and Chris Perkins, both these guys with dynamic speed and explosiveness in the open field. This one is up and away. It's going to stay in play. And that one's actually going to be fumbled, and that looks like Zach Woods was on the return. He muffs that one, and Ben Davis has come up with the football.
No words here. No words here if you are a member of that special teams right there. That's one of those plays that you practice and you practice and you practice so something doesn't happen. But at the same time, mistakes happen. It's just part of the game. It's what it is. And now what defines you as a football player and what defines you as a team is if you can come out after you make a mistake and if you can take a stand. And so that defense right now, they've got to come onto this field and make a stone wall. They have got to fight and fight because you cannot allow Ben Davis to put points on the board. I don't care if it's a field goal or a touchdown. Right now, you have got to get a turnover here. And I have all the faith in that Carmel defense. And I think this is what makes you a 6A ball team.
And I think that's a good point to bring up. You can put a word on it. I think it's deflating. But that's only if you make it deflating on you. As Kastner is going to keep this one off the left tackle. And already we see the sense of urgency from the Carmel defense bring him down behind the line of scrimmage. A loss of three there on first down, second down and 13, a positive.
And I don't think it would be far-fetched to say that the defense plays best under pressure. I think this is a defense who is very seasoned. They're very, very good under that pressure. And so now they're starting to rise to the challenge, you know, even taking a guy like Kastner out in the backfield.
Kastner looks over towards the sideline. He has himself a second and 13 at the Carmel 23-yard line. 11-10 remaining. We have ourselves a three-point game. Kastner takes the snap, has time to throw. Now rolling out to his right, fires over towards that right side. That one almost intercepted there. Looked like Alex Akins, but nonetheless, he has himself a pass breakup. That sets up a third and long. And Alex Akins really proving to be a shutdown corner as a sophomore.
Hey, give credit to Jack Conway. All the way from the secondary, is able to come in on that safety blitz, get into the backfield and really cause Kastner to have some trouble.
Third down and 13 as the crowd really starts to rumble here. Same formation, four wide set, three out to his right. Kastner looks over towards the sideline, has plenty of time, 12 left on the play clock. They bring in Dorian Tate as the lone tailback to his right. From the gun, Kastner will take the snap. He has time to throw, looking over the middle to Boswell. He makes the reception, and Boswell is going to be thrown down with some authority there at about the 2-yard line, but another third down conversion for the Ben Davis Giants. Mitch Davis coming up with the big hit there, saving a touchdown. So first down and goal from the 2-yard line. Ben Davis is knocking on the door, possibly taking the lead. Kastner comes back out onto the field. Huge momentum swing here as he lines up in the full house pistol. Kastner goes up the middle, trying to find Chris Evans. Chris Evans will find himself into the end zone. And just like that, it's 27-24, and Ben Davis has himself the lead.
I'm totally a fan of Chris Evans. He has done such a good job this game, not just making his name known, but playing for his team. Good job of bailing out a very talented quarterback in Kastner. And if anybody knows kind of these headline guys, you talk about Chris Perkins, you talk about Austin Roberts, you talk about John Lampe. These guys always get the spotlight. They get the media attention. But it's the guys like Shakir Pascal who work their way up, who make an impact. And again, as Alvarez tacks on that PAT, which now gives Ben Davis the lead at 28-24. But going back to that point, Chris Evans doing a nice job. He's having to play under Jamie Akin Jr., the senior, obviously the guy who is supposed to make an impact tonight. But Evans is playing very, very well. Again, a sophomore, only a sophomore. You've got him for two more years. He's already making an impact, and people are starting to recognize who he is.
And this is a guy who has over 700 total purpose yards for this offense in both rushing and receiving if you factor in tonight's game. And just like that, 28 unanswered points. And we really haven't seen the Carmel offense have much of a chance here. They've had two drives in this half. So let's see who's going to be back deep to receive this one for the Carmel Greyhounds. With 10:43 remaining in the ball game, they find themselves all of a sudden down four after they had a 24-0 lead. So Alvarez ready to kick this one away from his own 40-yard line. Kickoff will be up and away from Alvarez. This one a line drive back into the area of Perkins. That one will bounce into the end zone. Automatic touchback. Kind of danced around there on the goal line. Might have had to almost take that one out. The Carmel offense will start at their own 20-yard line. Let's see who comes out to play quarterback.
If you're the Greyhounds here, you're just looking for a jump start. You got to get something that's going to
that's going to get that momentum going in your offense. You know, you talk about you getting a rhythm. Like, think about a basketball shooter. When he is able to get into a rhythm and make several shots and get that confidence behind him, he's almost unstoppable. And in the same way, you can translate that same idea here to football. You got to take some shots down the field. You got to get in the rhythm. So whether that's actually having Isaac James throw the slant a little bit, or whether you're bringing out John Lampe, which they are, and he's taking some serious shots down the field, and he's really getting his confidence up, completing some deep passes to Austin Roberts, you're looking for that one play that's going to get that momentum going.
Four wide, shotgun set for Lampe, three out to his left where they go trips. He's looking over the middle to find his receiver. That's off the hands. It looks like a Thomas Baldwin. That one was going to be incomplete, kind of fluttered up there for a couple seconds. Everyone holding their breath, but incomplete pass, second and 10 on the way.
Yeah, tough catch there. Not the best pass possible, but you still got to bring that in. He only hit him in the hands. So, again, now trying to get yourself, regain your composure here. You know, you don't feel like you have to just sell out to the run now. It's okay to take some shots down the field, but Lampe, again, in that pistol, he's got to get something going.
Three wide out to his left and one out to his right. Pascal remains in the backfield as the tailback. Still plenty of time left in this ballgame. There's 10:39. There's still plenty of football left to be played here. From the shotgun now as they move Pascal up. He fakes the screen. Now under pressure, he rolls out to the outside. Now he's running with it. And Lampy's going to run to about the 30-yard line. Going to be close to the first down, depending on the spot. And that's going to be enough to move the chains. So we typically see Isaac James. We call him the running quarterback here. But John Lampe making a good decision to just tuck that one and run it to the sideline.
When James has taken the ball 62 times on the ground, Lampe, hey, he's still got some wheels. He's taking it 51. Make that 52, folks. Good run there by John Lampe.
Moving some tailbacks back and around. They go trips to the left and one out to his right. Pascal in the backfield from the pistol. They hand it off to Pascal. He shakes a couple tacklers at the 40. Getting close to the 40-yard line there at about the 37, actually, is where he's going to be spotted down. Shakir Pascal, that's what the Cromwell Greyhound offense likes to see, setting up about a second and four. Lampe trying to hurry this one up, going no huddle at the line of scrimmage. They go same formation this time, again from the pistol. From their own 36-yard line, Lampe hands that one up the middle to Pascal once again. Pascal met the line of scrimmage, but he's going to take the entire line of scrimmage with him a couple more yards. That's going to set up about a third and three. So impressive running here by Pascal sets up a third and short. Actually going to mark it at an official third and about a yard and a half from their own 38-yard line as the forward progress gets him a couple more. Lampe trying to direct this offense once again. They go four wide, but they split the difference on the receivers. Look for Roberts there off the right side in that slot from the pistol there. Pascal remains in the backfield. 9:23 remaining in the ball game. Third down and two as Lampe takes the snap. The handoff up the middle. Pascal tries to hurdle his way across the 40-yard line. Forward progress looks to give him enough for the first down. Credit Shakir Pascal there. Three consecutive rushes. He's able to pick up the 10 yards. So going over a 3-yard average so far on this drive, Pascal gets himself the first down. Clock will stop at 9:15 remaining in the ballgame, trailing by four. And trailing for the first time tonight, the Cromwell Greyhounds are starting to drive a little bit, knocking on Ben Davis territory. Clock will start here. Their own 41-yard line. Lampe looking over towards that sideline. Four wide set. They split the difference. Pascal will remain in the game as the lone tailback. Off the right hash, they move Roberts now towards that left side. And the handoff once again. Shakir Pascal trying to wrestle his way through. He dances to about the 43-yard line. Gain of two there on first down.
If there is a yards after the extra effort, I think that should totally be a category. Shakir Pascal would be leading the team. Not only does he get hit behind the line of scrimmage, but he's able to break three or four tackles and spin down and keep his legs going while he's falling, able to get 3 yards there. That should have been a loss of two.
That's got to be so frustrating as a defense. You have him wrapped up, you have him right where you want him, but he's able to make a little bit of magic happen there and gain a couple yards on what should be a loss. From the shotgun once again, Lampe looking to pass this time, has time, looking over towards the sideline. Roberts makes a catch after bobbling it. He's going to gain himself about 3 yards, stays in bounds. Third down and five on the way.
I think we need to give an instant replay there for Austin Roberts, a very, very hard catch to make. Obviously thrown behind him while he's in the air, able to stay with that bobble and bring it down.
That's why he is a D1 recruit, folks. Has some excellent hands. Four wide set, three out to his right for Lampe as he looks over at the sideline. An official third and six from their own 45-yard line. They need to get across midfield to continue this drive. Pascal remains in the backfield, over to his right as the lone back from the shotgun. Lampe takes the snap, looking to pass slant right to Baldridge. We have a penalty flag in that area. Lampe saw that one all the way.
There's a penalty marker on the play.
Let's see what this one is going to be. The official call. The officials discuss this one a little bit. 7:36 remaining in the ball game. This might just be enough to give the Carmel Greyhounds that first down. Already retreating is that Ben Davis defense. Moving them up a few more yards. That'll be across midfield. And that one will be enough to give him that automatic first down at the Ben Davis 45-yard line. So John Lampe, the Carmel Greyhound offense, will keep the drive alive. Four-wide pistol formation, three out to his right for Lampe. Now in Ben Davis territory, they try to go hard count, no one biting, so he looks over towards the sideline. Clock has stopped at 7:36. Carmel trailing by four, trying to get a nice drive going here. Lampe takes the snap, looking to pass under pressure. Now takes a huge shot. And that's going to knock him back about 6 or 7 yards. And a huge sack made there by the defense. And Nathan Adams, the senior, on senior night comes up big.
And if you saw Austin Roberts streaking on the left side of the field, Lampe wanted to go to him from the minute that ball was snapped. He's got to swivel his head. He's got to be aware of that, that the pocket's breaking down. He's got to be able to scoot up to the left side of the ball. Took too long looking at Austin Roberts on the left side.
Second and 16, the official spot. They're back in their own territory at their own 49. 7 minutes and counting left in the ball game. Trailing by four, Lampe will take the snap. Has time to throw, looking deep down the left side for Roberts. Roberts is not going to be able to come off of that one, off of his fingertips, and was double teamed on that one. And Lampe's still able to deliver it in that area. A lot of people thinking he was going to come up with that one, but just barely out of his reach. Third and 16 on the way.
Ooh, that's the John Lampe we're used to seeing, though. He's the kind of guy who can put the ball right in the breadbasket there for Austin Roberts. Rare drop there by Roberts, although kind of a hard catch. A guy who's going to UCLA, he's got to be able to come up with those.
So Lampe looking over towards the sideline. Now the clock has stopped at 6:53, but a huge third and 16. And we see this is where John Lampe has made a name for himself late in the game. On third and fourth down and long. Four wide set from the shotgun, and we are going to have ourselves a timeout. And that one will be a timeout. Carmel, they have two remaining in the ball game. So third down and 16, what kind of play are you drawing up here? Are you going sidelines? Are you looking over the middle, John?
You know, honestly, I think you could do a number of things. First off, I think it would be such a surprise to the defense if you came out in a pistol formation here. You know, even bunch up your receivers kind of close to that line. I think you could really do whatever you want to. Obviously, that defense is going to be expecting you to throw the ball, and they're not only going to be expecting you to throw the ball, they want you to throw the ball to Austin Roberts. You've got some weapons. You've got a guy like Jason Baldridge, Colin Pearson, to name off a few, Thomas Baldwin, who's been kind of the equivalent to Austin Roberts out on the far hash. So what I think you can do here is either throw it to Baldwin. You're not going to be expecting him. Maybe run a post route. It's something simple like that. But give Baldwin some space. He's a quick guy, and he's a great route runner. If you get him in open space, I think a nice shot over the middle there from John Lampe. I think you're looking at, honestly, a third down conversion here.
Third and 16. Tall task for the senior quarterback, Lampe. Shotgun formation, four wide set, three out to his right, including Roberts. Towards that sideline. Lampe with time to throw, looking over the middle. That one's batted away, and that one will be incomplete. And the defensive line of Ben Davis is coming up before any threat can even be started there. Great job there by Trey Harney. We've been mentioning his name a couple times throughout the night. He's able to bat that one away in a three and out by the Carmel Greyhounds.
Well, Harney's got 24 tackles on the season. Not really known for that guy who's able to make some acrobatic jumps there, but again, he's got two and a half sacks. So he does get into that pocket and disrupt it as a defender. So here's the smart decision here. Punt that ball. See if Adam Kramer can pin Ben Davis back deep.
Still plenty of time left in the ballgame. 6:48 to be exact. Carmel has two timeouts remaining. As Kramer fields this one cleanly, able to get that one off cleanly as well. Fair catch at the 19-yard line. So that's two punts for Kramer inside the 20-yard line, getting the job done once again. Very reliable in that punting game that he has had at starting position for 2 years.
Exactly. About a 45-yard punt, too. Not a bad punt if you're Adam Kramer. And again, following the likes of a guy named Brandon Dirksen was a punter last year. He's gone on to play at actually Anderson University as a punter. But a lot of history when it comes to that special teams for the Greyhounds. Talk about a guy like Billy Stumbo and all the records he's set for Adam Kramer to come in here and do the job he's done. It's very impressive. And not only that, but with the depth that the Greyhounds have.
So 6:42 is the time remaining in the ball game. Kastner comes back out. Four wide shotgun formation, three out to his left. Evans will receive the screen, left side, heads towards the sideline. With the stiff arm, he's going to be pushed out of bounds at about the 22-yard line. About a gain of 3 or 4 yards there on first down. The Crumble Greyhounds are able to push him out of bounds and stop the clock. So anytime they can stop the clock without giving up the first down or using a timeout, very beneficial, giving Lampe or James a lot more time to work with. Four wide, shotgun set again. This time they split the receiver set. Evans remains in the game as a tailback. They try to go hard count, but they run this one up the middle to Evans. Evans is going to be wrapped up at the line of scrimmage. A front seven, the Cromwell Greyhounds neutralizing that threat at the source.
Man, a stop here from that defense on third down is so imperative. The Greyhounds have to get the ball back again. Still, like you said, a lot of time. We're entering, nearing that six-minute mark. 28-24. And this is where you're looking for those guys in the secondary, Jack Conway and Zach Woods, to come up big here.
Will be a third down and five from their own 24. Kastner taking his time to take the snap, has time to throw now, is going to try to run this one, rolling out to his left, finds his man over towards that left sideline at the 33-yard line. A very impressive catch there. That one looked to be by number two, Brennan Gillis. We called his name a couple times. That's two third down conversions by him.
Again, Gillis has really become the go-to guy for Kastner. They've really kind of lacked that go-to receiver, but Gillis filling that role, and again, the mobility of Kastner on that last throw is incredible.
Four wide shotgun set. They split the receiver set. Look for Boswell and Beatty, who's had a huge game over on that left side. Evans remains in the backfield as a tailback to the left of Kastner. Five and a half and counting. Clock continues to dwindle away. And Kastner takes the snap looking. Finds Boswell at the 45-yard line. He's going to be pushed out of bounds. Looks like by Zach Woods there at the 48-yard line. That'll stop the clock. But another first down for the Ben Davis Giants.
Again, the Greyhounds there running that zone in coverage. Kastner able to read it and kind of almost aim that ball between pockets of coverage. A good read there from Kastner on the left side, just like you said, Jesse.
But Kastner takes that one looking up the middle, trying to find his tailback. He does. That's Evans on the carry. Trying to run out the clock a little more right now. 5:16 and counting remaining in the ball game, and we see Ben Davis starting to drive a little bit themselves. Second down and seven on the way for Ben Davis. Four wide set. They split the difference, putting Boswell in motion now. Takes the snap, dropping back, looks, finds Boswell over the middle once again. He's going to be brought down at the 44-yard line. That's going to be close to the first down. Just looking at it right now, looks to be enough. Clock will stop at 4:52. Boswell a little slow to get up, but gets right back up.
Just take a second to talk about the mechanics of Kastner. I mean, he's so machined in that pocket. Able to get the snap, 1-2, the ball is off, 1-2, ball is off. And I think that rhythm there is something that quarterbacks are lacking. They like to sit in the pocket way too long and try to see a play develop, when in reality, if you're able to play the coverage of Carmel, who's been backed off, and get those quick passes, we're talking, again, that's kind of like what Pascal's done on the ground for the Greyhounds, 5 yards each time.
An impressive release time, I think, is the correct way to put it for Kastner. He's under pressure now, evades a little bit. He's going to be chased down. Penalty flags fly at the 50-yard line. He's going to be brought down behind the line of scrimmage. He's going to lose about 6 yards. We'll see what this penalty, who this one is against. Carmel faithful here. Looking like it's positive for them. It's going to back up Ben Davis a little bit, depending on this call. They are signaling it is towards Ben Davis, but how many yards? Looks to be a spot of the foul. If that's the case, that's going to back him up to about the 40-yard line, their own 40-yard line now. So this is just what the doctor ordered for the Carmel Greyhound defense, some field to work with. So 4:29 remaining here in the ballgame. Carmel still has two timeouts to work with here.
When the flags fly in the collapsing pocket, normally the culprit is, again, that holding call. So 10 yards set back here. Ben Davis has to work. They've got quite a distance to go.
Four wide set for Kastner. Finds Beatty off of his screen. Beatty is going to be brought down at the 45-yard line. So only gaining a few yards on the play. Still have to get all the way up to the 34-yard line of the Carmel Greyhounds. They're at their own 45, second and 27 on the way, but 4 minutes and counting. Clock starting to be the enemy of the Carmel Greyhounds. Kastner looks over towards that sideline. Four wide shotgun set, three out to his right. Kastner trying to take as much time off the clock as he possibly can. They have 10 seconds left on the play clock as we speak. Trying to make it that much harder on the Carmel Greyhounds here. As they go over the middle, they find their man. He's going to be brought down at about the 32-yard line there as he is able to break several more tackles. That one's going to be L.J. Gildon on the reception over the middle. Impressive job. That's going to move the chains. And that's a demoralizing feeling right now for the Carmel Greyhound defense.
And you look at Gildon. He's averaging 10 yards a catch. Then let's go to Beatty over here. 13 yards. Evans, 12. Boswell, 14. These guys are first down receivers right here. They're going to throw them the ball, and it's going to be more than 10 yards each time.
This has been a very impressive drive. And the catalyst on this drive has been the quarterback, Kastner, passing all the way through here. Four wide shotgun set. He has three out to his left from the Carmel 30-yard line. 3:09 remaining in the ball game. The handoff goes over the counter to Chris Evans. He's brought down close to the 30-yard line. He's going to lose a yard on that play. Second down and 11 on the way, but the clock continuing to tick here. 2:55 in counting with the Carmel Greyhounds trailing by four. Kastner, with little urgency, I guess you could say, to get this playoff. He comes back out into the shotgun. Still have 18 seconds to work with on this play clock. He's probably going to take most of it up if he can. He has a four wide set, three out to his right. Look for Beatty over on that left side. Second down and 11 on the way. Takes the snap. The sweep over, trying to find Evans. He's almost wrapped up, breaking a couple tackles and getting back to the line of scrimmage. A lot of positive things on that run, but he's actually going to end up losing a yard. So about a third and 11 coming up for the Ben Davis Giants. A big third down coming up for these Carmel Greyhounds. 2:06 and counting. 20 seconds left on that play clock. And Kastner's still over on that sideline. It looks like we're going to have ourselves a timeout here. That one will be called by the Carmel Greyhounds. They will have one remaining. And when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, the exciting conclusion to this exciting football game here on 91.3 WHJ, the voice of the Carmel Greyhounds.
For 50 years, WHJE Radio has been your local source for Greyhound football. Join John Perkins and Jesse Smith for the 2013 football season as they bring expert analysis straight to your dial. 91.3 WHJE Carmel.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to 91.3 WHJE, the voice and the home of the Greyhounds. We're just under 2 minutes here left in the ball game, 24-28. Ben Davis has come back from, again, that 24-0 deficit and has recovered 28 unanswered points. It's been incredibly marvelous. We've seen that offensive of Kyle Kastner come to life. He's worked the air as well as the ground so well. Chris Evans, number 12, has just done a phenomenal job as a rusher, really bailing Kastner out. It's been such a just a treat to see.
We have ourselves a big third down and 10 from the 30-yard line coming up for the Ben Davis Giants offense. Kastner rolling out to his left immediately, trying to find his receiver. That one's up in the air. Would have been a huge turnover, but nobody in the area. And Gildon was the intended receiver off of his hands. But that's a third down stop for the Carmel Greyhounds defense. But Kessler trying to plead his case there, possibly going for it here on 4th and 10 as he's talking it over with his coaching staff. Clock has stopped because of the incompletion at a minute 54. Kessler's going to jog back out there. We got ourselves a 4th down coming up. This could be the game right here for the Carmel Greyhounds. Defense needs to make a stop before they get to 10 yards. Kessler comes out. 4-wide shotgun set. 3 out to his left off that right hash. Rolling out to his left. Pressure coming from the Hounds. Looking deep over the middle. That one's going to be incomplete. And a turnover on downs. And the Carmel Greyhounds still have a pulse.
And that is where that Greyhound pressure comes into play. That is why we haven't been calling guys like Ryan Sondles. We haven't been calling the name of Mitch Lindgren. But if you saw on that last play, they brought the house. That linebacking core that's so deadly was able to put enough pressure on Kessler that all he could do was roll out and threw it off his back foot, overthrew his man. And so now, Jesse, this is a big decision. Who do you choose to captain your team? Who do you bring out? And they're going to have to go with the senior here, John Lampe. You know, I think that you can go either way. We saw Isaac James work the ball very, very well in the first half. But John Lampe has not done that poor of a job so far, and he's starting to really warm up.
Lampe will take the snap, and this one's going to be waved off immediately. Whistles everywhere, but no flags on the field. Waiting to see what the call is here. Officials will talk this one over. No play. That one will be set back at the 30-yard line. We will restart this, but John, stop me if you've heard this before. A full field to work with and less than 2 minutes to go for the Carmel Greyhounds. One timeout for John Lampe. We have a 4-wide set. They split the difference on the receivers. Lampe looking to pass, trying to go to that sideline. He finds his man. That's Colin Pearson with a nice reception. He'll gain himself 4 yards there on first down.
Jesse, to tag off of that, it's kind of been the unintentional game plan for this offense this entire season. Again, they work better when they're actually playing from behind. Down only 4 points, and you give John Lampe the ball with a minute 44. And I got to tell you, he just reminds me of a guy named Peyton Manning who was so good under 2 minutes in any situation.
They split the receiver set 4 wide. Lampe under pressure is going to have to get out of there in a hurry. He's going to be brought down. He'll actually gain about a yard on the play, but 3rd down and about 5 coming up. Trying to hurry back to that line of scrimmage. The clock continues to tick here. A minute 29 remaining in the ball game. Lampe hurrying up to the line of scrimmage. From the pistol, 4-wide set. He's actually going to keep this one. Quarterback keeper racing towards the sidelines. Takes a big shot there at the 39-yard line. He's going to be just short of the 1st down. 4th and 1 coming up. Lampe will stay out there on the field. A minute 7 remaining now. From the pistol, 4-wide set. They split the difference. Lampe takes a snap up the middle. Shakir Pascal's not going to have enough for the 1st down. And under a minute to go, the Carmel Greyhounds will turn the ball over on downs. Shakir Pascal just not able to penetrate anywhere. He had 3 defenders in his face as soon as he received the football. And with only 1 timeout remaining, things are not looking too bright for the Carmel Greyhounds.
If I'm the Greyhounds in that position, I got to burn my timeout. I know that sounds crazy, but you've got a 4th down that's going to decide the ball game. You've got to take some time and talk it over with your team. You got to pick the best play in your book right there. And obviously, wishing for the wrong present, wishing for the wrong gift, whatever you want to call it there, that run up the middle was not going to do it. That defense was prepared to meet Shakir Pascal behind the line.
So they're going to take over at the Carmel 38-yard line. 57 seconds remaining and only 1 timeout for the Carmel Greyhounds. Trying to break the huddles here. Carmel was driving quite well up until that point, just not able to move the chains there.
Jesse, it's also important to still keep it in mind that 57 seconds is a lot of time for a number of mistakes that could happen. You're talking about, you know, obviously you're going to have to run the ball here. If you want, I mean, like, it's a fumble. I know it sounds so far-fetched, but anything can happen, and you still have to keep that mindset going on to the field. You can't play defeated until that clock runs out. Then that's your time to walk off and say, you know what, we played a good game, but we just didn't win. But right now, you're still playing football. You're still on the field.
Center to quarterback exchange is never a full guarantee as Kessler receives that one and he takes a knee. See if the Carmel Greyhounds elect to take that last time out of theirs, but 50 seconds remaining. Doesn't look like they have too much urgency to do so. 44 seconds and counting. The ball has not been set yet, and it will with 40 seconds remaining. And this should do it here, this last knee from Kastner. He's going to wait till the absolute last second he can to take this one down. 8 seconds remaining on the play clock, 22 seconds, and there's the knee, and that should do it here from Ben Davis. And a comeback victory for the Ben Davis Giants. They score 28 unanswered points, and they earned themselves a share of the Mick title with the Center Grove Trojans.
Exactly. But folks, remember that this does not define the future of the Greyhounds right here. This does not complete this story that these Greyhounds have had in this football season. In fact, it's just the beginning. Next week, we've got sectionals. Carmel's got to walk in. Hamilton Southeastern, they got to be ready to play ball. And playing a very, very talented team in Ben Davis. You got to give all the credit to not just the quarterback, Kyle Kastner, but I think I'm going to go ahead and give my player of the game. It's got to be Chris Evans. Chris Evans stepping up so big on the ground, really providing that relief, makes some things happen, reminding me a lot of Shakir Baskin.
I'm going to go ahead, and since you have Chris Evans there, I'm going to go with Kyle Kastner. Very impressive job by him. He may not have the stats to show it. He may not have the touchdowns. Well, it came down to it when they needed him to come up with a big play and come up with a third down conversion, he was able to. He was the catalyst for this offense to come through, be that leader that you needed him to be as a junior. And he helped his team come away with a very impressive comeback victory, 28-24.
And so for WHGE, the family, of course, and for Jesse Smith, I'm John Perkins. We're so thankful that you guys decided to tune in and keep your night with us. Again, final score 28-24 in favor of Ben Davis. Both teams played an incredible game, but be sure next Friday to check us out. Again, Hamilton Southeastern Sectional takes on Carmel. It's going to be a great game, but until then, we're going to send it back to the station, hear some tunes, but you're listening to 91.3 WHJE, the voice of the Greyhounds.
All right, Carmel, and it looks like that's all for tonight. Thank you for tuning in to WHJE to support your Carmel Greyhounds at Ben Davis. Have a great rest of your night, and now we're going to turn it back to the music.